Listen and earn to the Profit Express with your host, Tim Healy. For over a decade, Tim has helped the Long Island business community create sales systems through sales system development, training, and coaching. Tim is also the president and owner of Healy Success Solutions. Get ready as we create big-time profits for your business today. Now, here's your host, Tim Healy.
Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and you're invited to join me each and every week as we tackle the hottest stories, topics, and trends facing you, today's entrepreneur, today's small business owner, and we do it right here on the Profit Express on 88.7 FM WRHU. So thank you for being on board today. And while you're on Facebook, if you want to give us a like and a thumbs up at the Profit Express page, please do so. And you can follow me and the show at Radio Tim Healy on Twitter. And of course, that's at Radio Tim Healy. So thank you for listening. Now, if you are a New York Jets fan, then today is your day. Because right here on the Profit Express, you're about to hear my interview with the New York Jets legend number 93 himself, Marty Lyons. And my conversation with Marty will take us from his days at the University of Alabama with legendary coach Bear Bryant, his career with the New York Jets, of course, as being a part of the New York Sack Exchange, to life after football, his broadcasting career, of course, with the New York Jets Radio as a network analyst on ESPN Radio currently, and the amazing work that he's done since 1982, I believe, with the Marty Lyons Foundation granting special wishes to children diagnosed with terminal or life-threatening illnesses. Now, as exciting as a career in professional sports can be, I mean, who amongst you listening right now hasn't at one point dreamt of being in the pros at one level? And as exciting it is, let's face it, that time in professional sports is but a small fraction of any professional athlete's life. Now, as Marty has said, on your tombstone, you have a start date and you have an end date. And it is that dash in between that defines you and me. So as you listen to my interview, my conversation with Marty today, I know that he's going to get you thinking about yourself and how you can make the most out of your dash. So it's a pleasure to welcome aboard the Profit Express Jets legend number 93, Marty Lyons. Marty, how are you today?
Good, Tim. Doing well.
Thank you so much for spending some time, for being on board. You're right in the heart of what I like to call Jets country. We got a lot of fans listening today, so it's a real privilege to have you on. We don't have legends on the show every week.
Well, I wouldn't use the word legend, and I appreciate the compliment. And for all the Jet fans that are listening, you just got to have faith, you know.
Right.
A couple years ago, 2 years ago, you go 10-6. You had a chance to make it to the playoffs, but you can't wait till that last game. Your margin of error in that last game, you got to win to get in. And this past season, just too many injuries, and a lot of players didn't perform like they should have. And as a result, you go 5-11. It's a long season, not just for the fans,
sure,
but also for the players, the whole organization.
Now, I was going to save the Jets questions to the end, so you got right into it, because obviously it wasn't an easy season for the fans, but I appreciate it.
No, it really wasn't, and I give the fans a lot of credit, because they kept coming out, wanting to see a little bit better. But when you look at all the injuries that the Jets had, you know, you lost Eric Decker, who was a big part of the offense.
Sure.
You had Ryan Fitzpatrick. They couldn't settle the contract in the offseason, and as a result, he came in the night before training camp. He missed all the OTAs. You look at the offensive line, they only had one guy that started in preseason that made it through the entire season at the same position. That was the left guard, James Carpenter.
Right.
Everybody else, it was a rotating door. And as a result, there wasn't a lot of continuity there. The defense, as strong as they were supposed to be, was disappointing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what the offseason's for now, is to make those necessary changes, because no team will ever stay the same.
It's true, and you talked about Fitzpatrick there. A lot of fans were saying, hey, you know, was it lightning in the bottle, you know, the previous year? Some were for him coming back, others weren't, of course, as you know. Do you think, though, you know, obviously being a player yourself, that him missing, you know, training camp Was that a big factor in his performance this season?
Well, you know, I can't talk for Ryan, but I can talk because I saw every play this year. I think that when you lose that time with your wide receivers, with your running backs, and with your offensive line, you kind of lose that continuity. Yeah. You kind of lose that relationship. And unfortunately, it happens in the NFL. Yeah. You know, I was with the Jets for 12 years. My last year I spent on IR, and, you know, everybody was so optimistic when you started the season off, and everybody was so positive. Mm-hmm. Why can't it be us this year?
Right.
And I was on some of those 4-12 teams, and I was on the team that went to the AFC Championship game, and we lost 14-0. Got a little pat on the back, and they said, you know what, we'll get them next year. Well, I ended up staying 7 more years after that little pat on the back, and then next year never came. So one thing I try to explain to a lot of the young players is take advantage of the opportunity you have now. Don't take it for granted.
Right.
Don't think that you're more important than you really are. Realize that God gave you a platform, not just to play football, but to be instrumental in the community and be able to influence people by the way you speak, by the way you act, so that they can follow in your footsteps. Maybe they'll never be a professional football player.
Right.
But that only defines a little part of your life.
Sure.
You know, the rest of it is what you do with it. And I try to stress it to the young guys. There's a lot of money to be made, but there's a lot of people out there that need our help.
Because there's so few guarantees. Like you said, you pat it on the back, we'll get them next year. A lot of times it doesn't happen in the NFL, obviously.
No, more than likely it doesn't happen. Yeah. And you look at some of the players that have been very fortunate that wherever they go, they've been able to win.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you plug in the right pieces. You look at the Super Bowl this year, and you look down at the Atlanta Falcons. They got Dan Quinn. He started his coaching career off right here at Hofstra.
Yep.
Raheem Morris, the same thing. Lance Schulters, same thing. They all started right here off that football tree of Joe Gardy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, look at Julio Jones from the University of Alabama. They had every reason to win that game. But you look at New England, they never panicked. 25 points behind. I'm yelling at the TV, come on, you got to hurry up, you got to hurry up, you got to hurry up. But once they got that score to 28-12, you knew that Bill Belichick, Tom Brady realized, hey, it's only two possessions. Let's take our time. And at the end of it, you got New England with 93 offensive plays. Yeah, that's almost heard of. I saw it happen to Alabama against Clemson in the national championship game, where they just eventually warmed down, went down the length of the field with 2:07 to go, needing a field goal to tie, and they got the touchdown at the end. You go, wow, how did Clemson have 99 plays?
Right.
It's almost unheard of. But then, you know, the defensive guys go, well, you know, we got to do our jobs. We get paid to stop them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there wasn't enough gas in the tank. They didn't take advantage of that last field goal position that Atlanta had.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result,
with that great Julio Jones catch.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a result, Tom Brady didn't panic. Bill Belichick didn't panic. And the rest is history.
As a Jets fan, listen, you have to give it to Brady and the Patriots. They hate to do it, but what they're able to pull off was amazing.
Well, and I have a great deal of respect for Tom Brady, not just as an athlete, but really as a person. If you read the story about that little boy that had a brain tumor this year named Logan, his favorite player was Tom Brady.
Right.
He went in, I think, for his sixth brain operation to try to remove a tumor.
Right.
And he asked his mom and asked the doctor if, when they were doing the surgery, if they could actually engrave the number 12 on the outside of his skull. And he was that big of a fan. And then Tom Brady sent him a message, and then Tom Brady and Bob Kraft brought him up to New England, made him an honorary captain.
Oh, wow.
And sad, he just passed away probably 2 weeks ago.
Did he?
But he was instrumental. Tom Brady took time to reach out to him and said, you know what, Logan, I know you're my fan, but guess what? I'm your fan, too.
And which leads me to the Marty Lyons Foundation. It started in 1982, correct? 1982.
Correct.
and you've impacted, I think it's 7,300?
Well, I wouldn't say so, I did it. I would say that...
The foundation.
Yeah, the foundation
right.
did it.
Right.
I started in 1982. My oldest son, Rocky, was born on March 4th. My dad suddenly died at the age of 58.
That was that 1 week for you that really changed
things. Yeah, March 8th.
Things.
And then a little boy that has a big brother, too, named Keith, died on March 10th at the age of 5 and a half. And... you know, I was only 25 years old. I was a professional athlete here playing with the Jets, and I asked myself, why?
Yeah.
Why me?
Well, all in 1 week.
All in a matter of 6 days. And the more I asked why me, I started to learn what I was really saying is, why not somebody else? You know, God's only going to challenge the ones that are strong enough to handle it. Well, my first option was to run.
Yeah.
And then eventually you wake up a month later, 2 months later, you look in the mirror, you don't like the reflection you see, and you go, wow, this is not what my dad would like, you know, for me to turn out.
Right.
This is not what Keith wants me to turn out. This is not what I want. Take your name, take the platform that God has given you here in New York, and create a program for kids that are being cheated out of life, kids that get labeled terminally ill, or suffering with a chronic life-threatening illness. So we're celebrating 35 years. We operate now in 10 states. We've helped over 7,300 families, and we've raised well over $35 million. And it's just because people are willing to give. People see the difference that they can make in other children's lives. And if we can improve the quality of life for these kids and these families, whether it's a day, an hour, and hopefully God willing, he gives us one or two back, you know, then we've had an impact.
Sure.
Everybody should think about, you know what, I want to make an impact in life. I want to change the way people think. I want to change the way they act. And how can I do that? And we do it through the foundation.
Folks, this is the Prophet Express right here on 88.7 FM, WRHU. And if you're just tuning in, your timing is perfect. We have New York Jets legend, he might not like the word, Marty Lyons, number 93. And we're talking about a number of different things. We couldn't help but talk about the previous Jets season and the disappointments with that. And, of course, we just talked about the Marty Lyons Foundation. You've mentioned something that has caught my attention, you know, talking about faith. You've mentioned a number of times already. And it was at University of Alabama, your freshman year, I believe it was, you're 18. And Coach Bear Bryant had you, I guess it was one of the initial practices or gatherings, and he told you about the four key things that are so important. Do you remember what those four key things are?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, I thought you would. Yeah.
No, Tim, we were, you know, 18 years old, and you're talking about probably 30 freshmen from around the country. Everybody had the same resume. Coach right. Bryant, and still to this day, the University of Alabama, they have the pick. If they want you, you know, they're going to pick you. Mm-hmm. If you are All-State in football, basketball, and baseball, the guy you're sitting next to in the first meeting, he was All-State in football, basketball, baseball, and maybe even track.
Right.
So these are all-around athletes. And Coach Bryant said, welcome to the University of Alabama. He said, there's four things I want you to accomplish while you're here. He said, number one, always be proud of your religion. Number two, always be proud of your family.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, get an education. And number four, if we have time, let's try to win some football games.
Now, that surprised you, though.
Oh, it surprised me. I was 18 years old. I was 700 miles away from home going, why in the world did I come here?
Right.
But what Coach Bryant was actually stressing to his players is, I'm going to prepare each and every one of you to play the game of life. I'm going to take these core values, mm-hmm, teach mm-hmm. them to you. You're going to live them. You're going to understand them. And you're going to take that complete stranger that's sitting next to you right now, and you're going to treat him like family. And you're going to build that trust, and you're going to build that love, and you're going to build that relationship so that when you go out and play on any given Saturday, any given football game,
right,
you don't have to worry about the guy next to you. He's got your back covered. And I think Coach Bryant, you know, stressed religion because there's so many things that will happen to each and every one of us in life. So many things that will bring adversity or disappointment or failure.
The curveballs of life,
right,
yeah.
That if you don't have faith, where are you going to find those answers?
Yeah.
Now, I couldn't go to a book and find an answer in 1982. Why? Your son is born 2 days, 4 days later, your dad dies, and 2 days later, little boy that's 5 and a half dies.
Right, right.
You can't go to the book
right.
and try to find that. You had to find that through faith.
Right.
And you had to find that through an understanding that if you believe in God, you believe in something you can't see. And if you believe strong enough, when your time here is done, you'll get to witness and see everything that you believed
in. Right.
So
yeah, faith,
it's a test.
Yeah.
Faith is very challenging, and along with politics, it's one of those things that people don't like to talk about. And sometimes I think we can do without politics, but I truly believe you can't do without religion, without faith.
Well, like you said, in the span of a week, your son is born, which is obviously a joyous situation. Your father passed away. It was unexpectedly, too, correct?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the day he died, I was actually supposed to pick him up at the airport so he could see his grandchild.
Oh, he came in, okay, to see.
He was flying in to see his grandson.
Right.
But instead, I got the phone call from my sister, I want to say about 4 in the morning. I went to the bank, hit the ATM.
Right.
By the time I got home, he had passed away, so I caught a plane to go down to Florida.
And like you said, where do you find answers for that? Doesn't make sense to us now. So, again, relying on that faith,
right,
is a critical.
I mean, my dad was that type of guy that if he had to pass away at that time, so that I could use his platform to help over 7,300 kids,
right.
My dad would have been, hey, let's have one more cold beer. Let me smoke one more cigarette.
And he set you up on the right path.
Right.
Wow. And if you think about it, 25, you know, you're still a young guy, you're still a young athlete. And, you know, a lot of athletes do things while they're still active players, of course. Some do it afterwards. So that was a powerful moment for you.
Well, I think the most powerful moment is I was very fortunate when I got drafted in the first round by the Jets. Of all teams to go to,
yep.
I had an uncle, my Uncle Bob, my dad's brother, lived in East Meadow.
Oh,
so, you know, I could, if I had a bad day of practice, I'd go down and see Uncle Bob and Aunt Joan.
Right,
they were right there. And he was involved with Hempstead Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So when my dad passed away, I went to my Uncle Bob. I said, you know, I really want to start a foundation for terminally ill children. He says, well, if that's what you want to do, I'll help you get it started. I'm going to introduce you to a gentleman from the bank named Bill Gibney.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Gibney, he lived over in Westbury. We sat down. I told him what I'd like to do. Now, I don't have any money in the bank. Right. I haven't even filed for a nonprofit status yet.
Right.
And Bill Gibney said to me, as long as you make a commitment, it'll work. And as long as you make a commitment, I'll help make it work. He goes, but if you're just doing this as a part-time fix for what happened, I'm done.
That was great advice, though.
Well, it was great advice because, Tim, I've realized that now that word commitment, to me, has three meanings. It means take the words of a promise, make them become a reality.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten away from that. Everything is a contract, signed as. If you say, let's go back to, if you say you're going to do something, do it.
Right.
The second thing is about commitment. When you don't have time, find time. You and I both have 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
We all say, hey, we want to make a difference. We want to help. Carve out the time to do it.
Right.
And the third one, working with the kids from the foundation, I realized commitment means, you know, when somebody needs to talk to you, you're there to listen, but you don't ask for anything in return.
That's powerful.
Because you know what? We live in a bartered world.
Yeah.
A lot of times, I'll do something for you, but what are you going to do for me? A lot of times with our families, with our kids, all they want to do is have somebody listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
So many times because they're in a wheelchair, or so many times because we as society have labeled them different.
Right.
They may go to school and come home, and that particular day, nobody pays attention to them. They eat lunch at the same table, but nobody sits with them.
Right.
And you ask them how their day was, and they go, I was invisible. Now, these kids that they go to school with, they don't mean any harm. Because the adults, we ourselves continue to do it. You know, we don't take time to educate ourselves.
They've been taught it's okay. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they've been taught it's okay, but they haven't been taught how to break that barrier down.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you see so many adults do it today. And I don't think there's any spite.
Not malicious.
Or anybody means any harm.
Right.
But think about what that child experienced.
Yeah.
Here's a child that's in a wheelchair, or, you know.
I mean, just the words you said, that, you know, how was your day today? I was invisible.
Well, I had a young lady by the name Lauren tell me that. She was 16 years old. She had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And I used to call her up right after she'd go through her treatment. She'd go to school. I knew the day she went to school. I'd call her that night and say, Lauren, how was your day today? And she goes, today I was invisible. And it wasn't until she brought it to my light that I really fully understood it. How, you know what, these kids, you know,
it is from their perspective. You know, and you can hear, you can talk to, like you said, listening to them, number one, which maybe a lot of people don't do, goes a huge, huge long way.
It really is. And I think, you know, we got to continue to educate our kids and educate ourselves on, you know, some of the things that we as parents may not want to admit that goes on in school, such as bullying, such as taking advantage of other kids. And so many times we as parents go, oh, wow, not my son, not my daughter.
Right.
Well, it happens to everybody.
Right.
And as soon as we open our eyes and take the blinders off, you know what, we're going to be better off. If we can teach our kids that if they have a problem, come and tell us first.
Right, talk about it.
Talk about it.
Yeah.
Right, don't be afraid not to talk about it.
Yeah.
Let them understand that, you know what, we as parents, we're here to facilitate your needs, but also set an example for them, be a positive role model. The biggest problem we have is when our kids have to go outside the four walls to find somebody they want to be like.
It's, yeah, exactly.
It's hard.
It is.
It's hard.